I'm Low Tech Mystic. It's Friday, January 6th, 2006, and you're listening to Twat number 56.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Snatch back your brain, zombie. Snatch it back and hold it.
When I was young, I saw a video that changed the way I looked at the world. It was a video that was a documentary on a scientific study on chimpanzees. And the basic rundown was this. They had a room set up that had a banana dangling from a string. And the banana was a little bit too much off the floor for chimpanzees to reach, so they had a stepladder underneath the banana in order to assist the chimpanzees so they could climb up and grab the banana from the string. And what they did is they put three chimpanzees in this one room. And eventually, the chimpanzees noticed the banana dangling from the ceiling. So as one chimpanzee goes to climb the stepladder to get the banana, the other two chimpanzees are shocked with electrodes. And as each time as this happens, as one monkey climbs the stepladder, the other two are shocked. So suddenly, whatever chimpanzee is going to climb the stepladder, the other two monkeys, sorry, chimpanzees, will grab that monkey and keep him from climbing up the stepladder so they do not get shocked. They learn, hey, if one of us gets on the stepladder, the other two are going to get shocked. Whoever's not on the ladder gets shocked. And so eventually it goes through each monkey, each one of the three monkeys does try to climb the stepladder, and the other two monkeys prevent him from climbing the stepladder. So eventually it ends up none of the monkeys will go near the stepladder to get the banana. So step two of the study, they take one of the chimpanzees out of the room, and they put in a new chimpanzee. This chimpanzee has no clue what's going on in this room, but the other two chimpanzees still do. The other two chimpanzees will not go near this banana, but the new one who was just put into the room, hey, there's a banana, it's a stepladder. So this monkey, chimpanzee, whatever, he goes to get the banana. So as he goes to climb the stepladder, the other two monkeys, chimpanzees, bum rush his ass and knock him off the ladder. He's like, hey, what are you doing? There's a banana, don't you see it? So he goes again, boom. So after several times of this, eventually the new monkey goes, hey, don't go near the stepladder. So eventually, none of the three monkeys now in the room will go near the stepladder or the banana, because they're all going to get shocked, or the other monkeys are going to beat the ass. Okay, so now they take out one of the two original monkeys, they take out one of him, and they replace it with a new monkey, which knows nothing about what's going on in the room. And of course, just like the previous monkey, today there's a banana. I like a banana. So it goes to climb the stepladder. And instantly, the last remaining original monkey and the previous new inserted monkey both go to tackle the new chimpanzee who's just entered the room before he can go climb up that stepladder. And so, just as before, the monkey's like, hey, what are you doing? There's a banana, don't you see it? Tries to climb multiple times, and they just fight, and eventually goes, hey, I'm not going near this ladder. Every time I do, another two chimpanzees are bum-rushing me and beating my ass. So that monkey leaves the stepladder alone, and eventually, no monkeys are going near the stepladder or the banana. So the final step of this project, they take out the final original chimpanzee and replace it with a new chimpanzee. Now, at this point in the game, all three chimpanzees in the room have not been shocked, okay? You have one new chimpanzee who does not know the situation at all. The other two chimpanzees have yet to been shocked. All they have is been tackled before they can get up to the stepladder. Because before, when they were the new person, the other two monkeys, you know, would stop them before they could climb up to get the banana. So as before, the new monkey, as he comes in, says, hey, banana, climbs up the ladder. No, before he gets the ladder, the two monkeys who have not been shot tackle this monkey and keep him from climbing the ladder. The two monkeys don't know why they are stopping this new monkey from climbing the stepladder and getting the food, because they should get the food. All they know is what they did before. It's pattern repetition. It's what we were doing when we got here. We don't know why. It's just what we're doing. And you say, low tech, where the hell are you going with this?
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Alright, well, every day we sit down in front of our computers and we interface with our computers using three main devices: a monitor, a mouse, and a keyboard. Well, today I'm going to talk about the keyboard. Because every day we sit down in front of this keyboard, and like the monkeys that walked into the room before, we sit down and use this device, and do we ask anything about why and where? Well, no. Why the fuck should we? It's just how it is. It's what we use to interface with the computer, right? Right. But yeah, remember, question everything. Why is the keyboard set out the way it is? Yeah, some of it's just standard, and it's just what's been used, so if it ain't broke, why fix it? Yeah. Okay, but why is QWERTY set up? Why is the keyboard style set up the way it is? Well, to tell you about QWERTY, we're going to have to take a little trip back in time. We're going to have to go to the mid-1860s, back in Milwaukee, when Milwaukee was still a backwoods town back then, and there was a small crude machine shop in Milwaukee back in the 1860s, and in this machine shop we could find a man named Christopher Sholes, and Christopher Sholes was working on typewriter models. You see, typewriters had been around for at least 40 years now, and, you know, he wanted to design his own typewriter. His first model was he designed in 1868, had two rows of keys, and they were all in alphabetical order. But this led to jamming in the tight bars and the typings. It was too slow, it was awkward, it was crude, it didn't work. So he went down and talked to Amos Dinsmore. Amos Dinsmore was an educator and also the brother of James Dinsmore, who just happened to be Christopher Sholes' chief financial backer. And Amos Dinsmore and Christopher Sholes sat down and they did a study of letter pair frequency, basically studying how many times what letter appears with another letter. Like you have certain words that letters appear, like TH, like you have THE, the, that, or QU, or, you know, use your imagination. So they sat down and they did a study of the frequency of the letter pairs, and they came up with the QWERTY layout. And what this did is this allowed the typeset of the arm bars to be spaced out so that one could type faster without the arm bars jamming and colliding with one another, because commonly used letters weren't smacking into each other. They could be appropriately spaced. So eventually they can't accomplish what they want to accomplish in this crude machine shop in Milwaukee. So they eventually approach Remington Gunmakers, because you need fine precision small metal parts. Who better to talk to than a gun manufacturer? You know, they're making all kinds of specially small parts for their guns. Hey, alright, so Sholes and Dinsmore go to Remington in 1874 and begin the mass marketing of their typewriter, which is the QWERTY design, which really at the time when it came out, didn't really gather that much attention. Remington debuted a second upgraded, second model, number 2, in 1878 with the same QWERTY design with the new improved feature, which was the shift key. Now not only were you forced to type in caps, but you could use shift to actually type in lowercase letters. Incredible. And it was in 1978 that the QWERTY keyboard layout was patented. And from there, we pretty much have history set. The QWERTY keyboard layout was designed, it became common use, and that's pretty much what we have up in today. But was it just quiet all along, or were there other people that said that we should use other types?
Well, you're damn straight. There was all kinds of motherfuckers that had all kinds of different layouts for the keyboard, and it was very, very confusing. So eventually, you know, you've got a cry and a call from the people for some form of standardization. QWERTY just so happened to win out. If we fast forward up into the 1930s, we meet a man, Professor August Dvorak at Washington State University, and he was on a mission to develop the ultimate typewriter keyboard once and for all, you know, because he, in his mind, QWERTY was still imperfect. It was not logical, and there could be a more efficient manner of typing by arranging the keys in a better manner, he felt. So he set out to do the infamous Dvorak study. And he eventually came out with what was the Dvorak keyboard layout. And the Dvorak layout keyboard is quite differently set up from the QWERTY. On the home row for the Dvorak, you've got all your vowels and your most common consonants, like D, H, T, N, S, all on the home row as well. And on the Dvorak keyboard layout, your home row is where you spend 70% of your time. So 70% of the work is done by the home row on the Dvorak keyboard layout, as opposed to the QWERTY keyboard, they only do 32%. So, is one better than the other? I know this is a debate that has went on since the Dvorak came out. You know, there's a million conspiracy theories, one way or the other. You have people on both sides of the camp. I myself will say that when I first learned this information, I was just amazed by it, that you could set up your computer and interface in different manners. So, I end up using the Dvorak right-handed style. I actually enjoy it quite a bit. I'm not using it at the moment, but that's because I have redone my setup and blah, 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 stuff you don't care about. But I have used it before, and I have to say I like it. I could type just as fast, if not faster, as I could in Dvorak as I could QWERTY. So, you know, different strokes for different folks. Just your mileage will vary, but I definitely recommend experimenting and trying. You're not going to hurt anything, and you might find something that you enjoy using. I know with the Dvorak right-handed key style, I could type just as fast one-handed as I could with two hands. And for playing the multiply massive online role-playing games, MMOs, like Final Fantasy, Star Wars, Galaxies, stuff like that, this was an invaluable tool. And also, as far as a method of security through obscurity, the physical security of your computer is greatly enhanced by switching to a different keyboard layout just for the sheer frustration factor. Everyone that sat down at my computer went nuts and refused to use my computer, got up, and just walked away. It was just amazing. You know, get yourself a trackball mouse and set up in a different, other than QWERTY layout, and man, you'll have no physical security issues. But enough about the Dvorak and QWERTY. And covered, there's, you know, you get into looking at it, and there's amazing multitude assortment of different keyboard designs and layouts out there. Get out there and check this stuff out. And I highly have to recommend everybody out there check out the Maltron keyboard design. That's spelled M-A-L-T-R-O-N. Maltron. Check out these keyboards, because I swear everybody needs one of these keyboards for their own personal Gibson. Once you see it, you know what I'm talking about. These are incredible beasts. They come in several different forms. You have your two-handed Maltron, your one-handed, right-handed, left-handed Maltron, your executive Maltron. They're very cool. Check them out. And look at all the different types of keyboards, and take a minute and sit down and think about the way you interface with your computer, and think about different ways of doing it. And yeah, you might have to go through a little bit of learning curve to try different methods, but that's what we are. We're hackers, and we're about trying new and different things. That's where innovation and creativity comes from, is from trying different things, from getting out of the same old routine. We want to try different things, different methods. We're not going to succeed all the time. But the fact that we try, we may learn something in the process. And that's the real value in everything. The adventure is in the journey. So, you know, it doesn't have to be uber complex. You can start with the simple things like your keyboard. Examine and think about things that surround you in your daily life. And until Monday, this has been a Tango Whiskey Alpha Tango. I'm going to leave you guys with some awesome live Sublime bootlegs. This is some Sublime tracks from back in 1995 of February 2nd. It's Bradley Noel, of Sublime, and it's a bootleg. Enjoy the shit, have a good weekend, and snatch back your brain, zombie. Snatch it back and hold it.
The analysts compelled the guitar, and they fixed it, and then we had a maid for a little while, and now I got a girlfriend, but... But the maid stepped on it. Girlfriend's much more considerate. It also popped on the plane. Now, high altitude, you can loosen the strings. I guess. That's what they told me. I'm sure they stepped on it. I can't remember all these songs, though, now.
Play don't seem right, but I've been strung out here all night. I was waiting for the taste you said you'd bring to me. If this game bay, while them human children sleep all day, still the song you used to sing to me. Can see it in her eyes. Imagine my surprise when I thought you are you, Dr. Wu. Are you really just a shadow of a man that I once knew? Are you crazy? Are you high? Are you just an ordinary guy? You better not, you can't do. Are you with me, doctor? Are you with me, doctor? Are you with me, doctor?
Yeah, I still can't remember the other song.
Coffee or something. No.
Here's a steam train coming through. I would take it if I could. And I would not lie to lose, because Sunday morning soon will come when things will be much easier to say. Microphone like a box DJ, but I won't walk up upon the speed like it was Godland. Box DJ means nothing but a man. No trouble, no fuss. I know why it's so nice. I wanna hear the same song twice.